Hi, my name is David Koechner, and you're listening to Storyworthy. You must be smart.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. I am Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Greek Theater in Griffith Park. Why? Because it's our 100th show.
Yay!
Now, let me just say that we were offered the Hollywood Bowl.
Right.
And I said, not intimate enough.
Not intimate enough. We like to keep it smaller. Yeah. We like to be in a park.
We could fill, you know, we got a couple of 100,000 people willing to pay 40, 50 bucks to come in.
Right.
But we said, no, we want to keep it to the 3,000.
It's not about that. That's exactly
Greek.
Right. It's not about that. You know, Ringo Starr was back at the Greek last week, Hannes. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. He tried to shake my hand. I told him to go fuck himself.
Good one. Hey, it is our 100th show, Hannes, which is really impressive. I mean, to me,
it
because
is.
2 years ago we had no shows.
That's
and now
right.
We've been putting out one a week. So you do the math.
Right. That would be a lot of shows, almost 100. I would like to say, I was thinking, like, what should we say for our 100th show? It's like, well, what changes have happened in our lives over the life of the show? You go first.
Well, you're throwing it right at me. Okay. I moved.
Right.
But only a couple of blocks away. And I moved because I got separated. So that was a big thing for me. That's been a big part of my life. I have a child. She's 5.
She's 5 now.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but I've been separated in the last
so you've
2 years.
You've got big life changes.
That's
whereas
been a big
I,
life change. What have you been
I
doing?
I was working at Universal Studios Hollywood 2 years ago, and I'm still working there. And I was engaged 2 years ago, and I'm still engaged. So absolutely nothing
so
about my life
So you're not
going to
marry that
changed.
Girl? You're going to marry that girl?
No, we're totally going to marry her.
All right.
But, I think I want to make it a live episode of Story where we should actually get married on the air.
You think that would be? You think that would attract listeners?
No, I just think it would be funny.
Yeah, I mean, because visually it could be funny, but this isn't a visual show.
Well, she can dress as Tiny Tim.
Again, it's not visual.
That would be visual. Oh, you don't remember what Tiny Tim
looks like. But this is a podcast. We wouldn't see you guys.
It's true. So you're saying that this Thor costume I'm wearing is being wasted on everyone except here at the Griffith Park.
All right, you guys, I got to throw this out to you real quick. If you go to storyworthypodcast.com, right there you see an Amazon ad. You click on Amazon, you shop as normal, we don't care what you buy, and you are supporting the show. What do you say about that?
That is the simplest way to support our show. You go, you buy your Civil War pornography.
Right.
We don't get names. We get a list of what you bought. We don't get names.
That's exactly right. Also, folks, you find us on the Facebook, the Twitter, and Stitcher.com, a free website, a really good resource for thousands of free podcasts. You know that, right?
Absolutely, but none of them are as good as ours.
All right, we have a really great guest tonight, and I'm so excited for him to be here, and that's why we're celebrating our 100th show.
Yeah, with a big, big, big name.
That's right, Dave Koechner. You familiar with this man?
Dave Koechner. Champkind.
Champkind. He had a huge hat in that show. And what I'm seeing now, because he's in front of me, is those chops were real, I believe.
Chops? You mean his teeth?
No, his sideburns.
Oh, his sideburns, the enormous sideburns. He does have enormous sideburns.
Hannes, before we get to Dave Koechner, have you learned anything in the last 100 shows? Have you learned anything?
I have learned that many, many talented people in this, unlike, say, Dave here, who is incredibly successful, Jim Beaver we had on a few weeks ago, there's a lot of talented people that are successful but not necessarily famous in this town.
Well, I don't think you need to be famous to be successful.
No, I'm not. I'm saying when you are outside of Hollywood, you think all you think of is the famous people.
Oh, right. You don't realize that there are
thousands of incredibly talented people who are making a living
and they work.
That you have never heard of.
That's right. They play things like The Man.
Right.
Girl in the Blue
Hat.
Well,
we have a fabulous one of Dave's earlier episodes or works, I'm Mad About You, Store Clerk, which I thought was one of his finest. Yes.
I think that's a good role.
And in the Jamie Foxx show, Stephen Queen. I'm not sure why he was named Stephen Queen. I'm a little frightened.
Not Steve McQueen.
No, not Steve McQueen.
Right.
Although that would be good casting.
Right. Well, anyway, I've learned a lot of things, Hannes, in the last 100 shows from our guests. People have good information. You know what I'm saying? People know their stuff. And I've learned things. For instance, Nicole Jackson-Jones. She talked about her vaginal rejuvenation surgery.
Yes. See,
that's knowledge.
It was funny to me because I had always had an old bit in my stand-up act about the advertising but not about the actual thing. I wasn't aware of how much trouble it was to have a laser shot into your vagina. But we found out.
But we learned, and this is good information. I've also learned, gosh, I've learned from so many different guests. And that's really, I like the idea of the whole show, Hannes. It's storytellers, right? It's true stories. It's things that have happened. It's not fiction, is it?
Right. And it's also a matter of having a certain editing ability of picking the people you want information from. Because there's a lot of people out there that are a complete waste of time to listen to. And we have not brought those people to you.
No,
we've only recorded those people.
Right.
But you've never heard those recordings.
Hannes, over the last 100 shows, I think there's only been two that we haven't actually aired because it just didn't work out.
Yes.
There was the crazy guy from the Valley who did like an ambassador story. He said he was an ambassador.
No. He said he was going to do an ambassador story, but what it was about 1,000 different insane stories about how everything in the world fucked up around him and none of it was his fault.
Yeah, that didn't work. Now, there was a story from Moran Cerf, you know, the brain surgeon, Moran Cerf. He did a story about a shipwreck. He wrecked a ship. He was in a boat. He wrecked the boat.
I believe he was
saved.
Getting laid by two girls at once and sank the ship.
There was a threesome going on and the ship sank.
Yeah, see, when you start with a shipwreck, you're burying the lead. The threesome is the lead.
Well, to me, it was the shipwreck. But yeah, now that you mention it, the point is there's a lot of information. It's been a lot of fun. And this is where we want to introduce a new segment we're going to be doing on the program. Not a segment, but an actual show. And that show is going to be called, Hannes, would you like to say it?
Best of Storyworthy.
Best of Storyworthy. That's exactly right. So what we're doing is we're repurposing the stories that have been brought to us.
Yes. So if you hate us and our talk,
right,
and many of our reviews indicate that we are hated deeply.
I've heard about hate.
Then this will just be stories.
That's
right. There won't be a minimum amount
of
bullshit of us
going
talking.
No banter, all story.
Right. I want to do a best of, which is all banter and no story.
Right.
I've been voted down so far, but I'm just going to keep pushing on
because the title of the show is Story Worthy.
Right. I want to do something called banter shit. That will be my, that is actually, I'm changing that to my middle name, is Banter Shit.
I love you so much, Hannes. I really do. All right, you guys, without further ado, please, let's, everybody get excited. Dave Koechner's here. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with the man, the myth, the legend, Champ Kind. Join us next week for Storyworthy with actor Kurt Yeager.
I was just out of the hospital and been walking around with Kane for 1 month in the admission district, and...
Next week on Storyworthy. Back. We are now backstage at the Greek Theater. We've had a little refreshment, power bars, and some cocaine, and we're ready to go.
I was going to say, we're having power bars and like juice? What? What's happening?
No, power bars and cocaine.
Fair enough.
It's good and good for you.
All right, you guys. Dave Koechner is here. He is an alumnus of Chicago Second City Theater. You know what that says to me, Hannes?
Big time comedy chops. That's right, chops.
Funny. That's what it says to me. And he got his first break as a cast member on Saturday Night Live. You can't go wrong there.
No, you can't.
I've heard him do his impression of Lauren Green.
Wow. We don't have enough 70-year-olds listening to our podcast. Lauren Green imitations are what we need to really bring
in. Come in here.
But since then, boy, you guys, he has been in over 100 in film and television productions. He's best known as Champ Kind in Anchorman and also Todd Packer on The Office. Now, Packer's going to be back on NBC this fall, and the filming of Anchorman 2 begins early next year. Also, you can find Dave performing stand-up throughout the country, and you can see him in the feature film Piranha 3DD. Is that right? 3DD?
Yeah. Yes, and it refers to breasts.
Oh, interesting. And soon to be released, Hit and Run and Small Apartments. David has been married to his wife, Lee, for 14 years and in L.A. Hannes, that's like what?
That's like a million years.
It's like 15.
It's fantastic. They reside here in Los Angeles. They've got 5 kids. They range from little to big.
5 kids?
And you can certainly find them at DaveKoechner.com. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, put your hands together for Dave Koechner.
Unless you're driving. Hi, it is hard to they deaden your mic, folks. When you come on here, they wait and they say, okay, you can't talk. I have one question: Civil War porn.
Look, Matthew Brady, the famous photographer?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he couldn't make all his money off of...
Did he really do what was then considered pornography? What would
I'm going to yes and say this actually happened. I just like the idea. But what I like is the idea that there's always been pornography.
Yes.
So there must have been pornography during the Civil War.
Right.
And I just came up with the idea that you could buy it on Amazon.com. But now I have to look it up because it has to exist.
And well, these women...
Maybe not on Amazon, but
they,
yes.
They wore the Victorian dresses, right. And they had corsets, and they wore lace-up boots.
They had to come off at some point.
That's kind of hot.
Oh, I don't want the boots to come off.
It'd be interesting to find out how quickly once... Because we know that there was, I guess, pornography on pottery, right? Of course.
Yeah.
We've seen the Greek...
In cave paintings.
Right. So I wonder how quickly... After the photograph was, or the camera was invented, how quickly they started taking pornographic
you
pictures.
You know, I bet immediately because I've read that that technology is always driven by pornography.
It's like printing how quick press. Sexting came around. Sexting, yeah. Everybody's
but
sexting.
But like the printing press didn't make money because of Gutenberg Bible.
Right.
You couldn't make money with Bibles. You could make money with pornography.
With 50
Shades
of Grey.
And the internet is the most recent example of all
which
that
which is the
stuff.
Same thing.
Yeah. Hmm.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I want folks to know that Christine is sitting on the highest chair in the room.
That's exactly right. Now, think about
status.
Johnny Carson. What did Johnny Carson do?
He was a talk show host.
That's exactly right. And his desk was higher than... It was so much higher than everybody else's. You can't believe it.
The desk.
That's exactly right.
Huh.
His desk. So he was higher than
the
all
chair.
The guests. His chair
so
and
he
desk.
Himself was,
the
yes.
whole thing.
I didn't know that.
Up. Yeah,
I think Letterman does that too.
And
that's
so
my
I'm,
Lauren Green.
I'm
I did not
from that.
Know that.
I did not know that. I'm playing from that, and also.
So
the
is that
fact
where you
that,
is that really where you got it from? You're like,
no, I got it from IKEA, the as is section.
Oh.
And what I do
no,
is that I
where
buy.
You got the idea from?
No, I use that as the excuse because okay. I couldn't afford all the same height. But you know what? You know who else pointed that out?
Buy from Amazon through this show. Okay, yes.
Wayne Fetterman. He
Fetterman.
Pointed that out.
I love Fetterman
He's a
so
smart
much.
Man.
I love Fetterman.
By the way, I am sitting on a child's seat because there's not enough chairs in here.
I cannot believe this is the complaints at this juncture.
This
is pathetic.
Not a complaint. It's just an observation.
It's been 100 shows, and now we're talking about my chairs.
I'm sitting on a child, so...
So, yeah. What's your point?
Exactly.
My name is David Koechner. I'm from a very small town in Missouri called Tipton. The population my entire life growing up was 1,999, and then it jumped to 2004 during the 1970 census. I think the 1980 census, it went to like 2,034. And then lo and behold, when I was, I went back like after the year 2000, and it jumped to 3,200 something. And I thought, what? Tipton's growing. Apparently all they did was they moved the city limits to include the prison. We gained, I'm not kidding. I wish that was a joke. So sad. So, but my story does concern my hometown. Where I'm from, like I said, small town, not a lot to do. So one of the events in your life in high school, when you're a senior, you go paint the bridge, the railroad underpass, about a mile outside of town. You paint your high school year there. I graduated in 1980, so that year we went out and we painted 80 rules. Me and about five of my buddies stole paint from my dad's manufacturing plant and painted 80 rules out there because nothing rhymes with 80. You know, every year would have 79 is divine, 78 is great, 80 rules. So that's what we painted. I go home. We did that successfully. You know, we were whatever. I was 17. Others were 18. We got someone to buy us beer. We waited. I know we did it during the winter. It was cold, and I got paint on my coat. And at that point, I remember making up this elaborate story that I never had to tell my parents, like, why is there a little bit of red paint on your coat? And I was making all these guys who were like, listen, if anybody asks, here's what happened. So anyway, cut to 30 years later, when I go back for my 30-year high school reunion, I go back, and I notice that the underpass... That's no longer a tradition. It's like, what have you guys, what's going on here? What's happening? Where's the school spirit? Why aren't you vandalizing things like we did in a show of like pride? And then I also realized that year that when I graduated, like this, the town's so small, this is not a private school. We graduated 78 kids. Yeah, that's how big it was. And the year I came back from my 30-year high school reunion, my niece graduated and she graduated with a class of 42. Now here's the messed up part. I was informed that of those 42 kids, 24, as they say, walked without actually receiving a diploma. So they walk across the stage, only half graduate, actually earned enough credit in a small town. So I thought, what is happening here? And I like that. I'd observe that they're no longer painting the underpass. There was no, you know, hey, year 2000 is, nothing rhymes with it. is grouse-like. So that night, what we do when we go back for your high school reunion, and from my town, what they do is they celebrate every 5 or 10 years. It's not every year like normal schools do. So every 10 years, you usually get together. So I go back, and like that, it's a small town. On Friday night's the real reunion. Friday night, you'll rent a small gathering place in town, and you and your classmates will gather. So I think we had, I don't know, 25. And the weird thing is a lot of the locals don't come. Like, I'm traveling from Los Angeles because I want to see everybody. This is the 30. Like, come on, guys. So I don't know why, but I wanted it to be important. I wanted it to be special. And when they don't all show up, you're like, we even started a Facebook page. No one cared. So I had mentioned during our early evening, we had dinner and we're all talking and blah, blah. Then we're dancing that, hey, let's go paint the underpass because they don't do it anymore. And so these guys thought I was crazy, but the more liquored up we got, I got about 4 guys to go along with it. And lo and behold, someone had spray paint in town, which, you know, is like you can't just go out and buy spray paint in Tipton at 2 o'clock in the morning. So we went out, and it's summertime. It's like May. It's May. It's over Memorial Day weekend, I believe. And we went out, and we painted 80 rules at the underpass. And we were all so happy, blah, 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 blah. Now, while in the process of doing this, there are 2 small highways that intersect right there at the underpass. And so we had one guy kind of looking out, and the rest of us were painting, spray painting the underpass, 80 rules. Then a car starts coming. Now, they're not going to be looking at us anyway, but one of my buddies runs back toward the car and trips in a ditch and really hurts his leg. And I was like, how ridiculous is that, right? Anyway, we did our job, and my wife thought we were all stupid and crazy, and she's right. All right, that's what happened then. We're all so proud of ourselves. Now, cut to, I go back that same year, later that year, actually the beginning of the next year, my buddy's daughter was getting married. It's the first time I went to a wedding as a friend of the parents. Ooh, yeah. Which is wow, this is okay. I'm getting older. Great. So it's New Year's. It's cold. We bring the whole family down. This is before our 5th daughter was born, our 5th child who was a daughter. So go back with all 4 kids. I noticed what had happened then about 2 months after we'd painted 80 rules that previous summer, they did construction on that bridge. And so our handiwork got whatever, concreted over, painted over. I was like, guys, I understand that. I called a week before and I said, guys, we're going to have to paint the bridge again. Now, my buddies were like, I'm not going to have anything to do with this. Yeah. Well, I told one of my buddies, hey, get me some paint. Just have spray paint ready for me. So he agreed to that. But here's what he did. He went to a different town to buy the paint because they're so afraid they're going to get caught, right? So I get to town. He's got the paint for me. I'm like, great. I'm still trying to corral them. Now, one of my buddies who had done some of the painting years before, his daughter's getting married, so I know he's not going to be part of it. I'm still trying to get some other guys to go along with me. All right, so we go to the wedding. It's a New Year's Eve wedding. Go to the wedding, go to the reception, and in Tipton, these things last long. Then my wife is tired, like, let's go home. The kids are going to get up. I'm like, I'm staying out. She's like, you're an idiot. So, of course, I stay out. I go to a party out. Oh, because it's New Year's Eve. There's a New Year's Eve party out at a barn outside of town. So I keep charging through the night. I've got my spray paint in my rented car or whatever it is, SUV. I'm still intent on doing this thing. So I go, and now it's about, I don't know, 4 or 5 in the morning. Why I'm out in this small town, gosh knows. So I go out and I decide I'm still going to do it. So I go, I take the spray paint, I'm shaking them up. I am trying to spray paint 80 rules, right? So now it is 11 degrees outside. It's really cold. And I'm out there by myself trying to keep one eye on traffic and shake these spray paint cans. And also I'm trying to, it's dark. I can't see anything. And then I've got my iPhone out and I'm trying to push the light. The whatever flashlight app, but my battery's dying, so I can't see. So I'm out there. The paint is freezing up. I'm shaking it. I'm doing a pretty poor job, and I just do whatever. Okay, so I kind of paint 80 rules. Then I see a car coming. I run back to my car, and guess what? I fall into the same ditch that my buddy had done earlier. So then I go home like, I don't advocate drinking and driving. You should never do it. And I'm going to make an excuse. It's a really small town. There is no traffic. Still stupid, 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 stupid. But in my immature mind, like, it was okay. Go home. My wife is just like, what time did you get home? Here's what my wife sees the next morning. There is blood on the pillow. She lets me sleep in. Because apparently, as I fell into the ditch, I hit my head as well. She's looking at me like, what time did you come home? I wake up. Her husband has blood on the pillow. And what did you do? She knew I went and painted the bridge. Like, oh, my God. What an idiot. Now, my foot hurts really bad, too. I'm like, wow, what happened? So, but the problem is I didn't finish the 80 rules, as I figured out. So the next night is the last night we're going to be in town. So I want to see my buddies again because I never get to see them, but once a year. And so I go out to a party. My wife says, I'm not going out because I said, I'm going to finish painting the bridge. So I go to my buddy's place. We have a few cervezas, not as many as the night before. And I say, guys, I still got the paint. I've got to finish the 80 rules and you guys have to come with me. Guess who went? Nobody. So I went and the next night I finished the job. So that's that. It's still.
You are a hero.
I'm a vandal and a criminal.
You're a hero to your town.
And hopefully no one in Tipton knows what a podcast is.
Yes, I think that is probably a very good.
Because they go, every time David Koechner comes home, something goes wrong with that bridge.
Yeah, also when you go 80s rules, you said, how big was your graduating class?
78, I think.
So there's only 78 suspects, because who else would write 80s rules?
You mean originally?
Okay, no, that's what I'm saying. Only the class of 80 would write that, well, even it was, 30 years later.
Right. Well, it's kind of accepted vandalism, because that was a rite of passage. Like,
yeah.
There are those things that every town tolerates, I think. Like, there are plenty of towns that go, oh, yeah, that's where the kids do that thing.
Yeah, you know, yeah. No, I understand, but it's like if they got pissed about it,
right.
They wouldn't have to look very far to find
exactly.
The suspects.
What did you get accomplished the first night? It didn't say 80 rules, it said 80 rue or 80?
It was kind of a really poorly constructed 80.
Right.
And the paint was...
Because you
was,
really just needed to do a lot of circles.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I know what you're thinking, like, how hard could it be? But the paint was freezing up.
I see.
That
I
was
see.
The problem.
So it's a lot of shaking.
A lot of shaking.
I'm going to ask our sound engineer to get us some spray paint can sounds now. Yeah. Because it's very specific,
clickety,
isn't
clickety,
it?
Clickety,
clickety, clickety. Because there's like a ball like in there, isn't
yeah,
it?
And
it
if
mixes
it's frozen,
up the paint.
I love, yeah, that's just reminding me of Wisconsin, that whole, it's 11 degrees, you're right. Outside drunk trying to do something stupid.
Yes.
Right.
That's like, I mean, can I just say, I, of course, immediately went to the Tipton, Missouri Chamber of Commerce.
Oh,
thing.
Good. Oh, good.
By the way, the address is TiptonMo.com.
How do you spell Mo?
M-O, Missouri.
It's Missouri.
Oh,
that's,
oh,
that's
I see.
Abbreviation.
I see TiptonMo. I see. I get it.
It says, it's within minutes of everywhere you want to be. For instance, Branson, Missouri is
minutes?
A mere 210 minutes away. 4 hours.
Wait, 210 miles or 210 minutes?
No, 210 minutes.
By that,
that
logic, Moscow is close.
What does it
right.
mean, 210?
It's with, you know what? They're not lying. It's within minutes.
Right, that's what they're saying. It's
so someone's being clever.
Right, yeah. And the closest one is, like it says, a mere 30 minutes away is Boonville.
This is, it's so Simpsons. You know, it should be like Ogdenville, 75 miles away. It's something
yeah,
like
it's
that.
Like, yeah, the world's biggest ball of twine. A yes. mere 500 hours away.
Do you see what's famous in Tipton for what our ball of twine is?
No. It says beautiful schools,
do you
rural
see the
farm
ball?
Community.
And when I say eight
oh,
ball,
they,
I mean
oh,
at
look,
like a
here
pool.
It is, here it is. It's part of the logo, the giant eight ball. I didn't know what that was.
That's, finally.
That's eight, like, yeah, I know. Well, not the eight ball. You're just ingested here at the back of the Greek Theater. There used to be a pool yeah. table factory in Tipton when I was growing up that, yeah. that employed quite a few people.
Awesome.
It was bought by Spalding, and Spalding used it just as a tax write-off, ran it in the ground and sold it. So that was Tipton was famous because we were a pool table manufacturing company. So that is a pool ball, and they had their own water tower because it was a very large factory. And they
so
needed
the top
the
water of the
water pressure.
Tower is painted.
Yes. So that's
pretty cool, actually.
Yes, yeah. But then that's a little sad as it goes on. Then the factory sat dormant, empty for years, and they finally got a company to go in there called Fasco. So then Fasco painted over the eight ball,
oh, goodness
and they
sake.
Painted Fasco on there.
Oh, that's
Fasco
too bad.
Leaves town because of one Republican president named Bill Clinton who let NAFTA go through, which is still incredible when you think about it.
So all jobs have gone away. All jobs have left the entire United States. But so then finally Tipton gets together like, hey, what's the one thing we used to be known for?
They buy
the property and then they repaint that particular. This was a private water tower.
Right.
So they bought all of it. And so now they put the eight ball back on there. But it's a really long explanation of like, why is there an eight ball?
Why did it have to go through all of that?
No, it's sad.
I didn't know about
pool tables.
It's pool table manufacturers. Yeah. I always think of like Brunswick or maybe I'm thinking air hockey.
What am I thinking of? Waiting for Guffman. Wasn't one of their things that they made pool tables?
No, they made stools.
They made stools. That's what it was.
Okay. Maybe they made yours, Christine, that you're sitting on, the high stool.
They may have. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Our stools were made in China.
Now, let me ask you, not to be a complete egomaniac, but am I even referenced in this?
I do not know. I did not see you.
Look,
I just wonder if you know any of the members of the Chamber of Commerce here.
Do you know everybody in Tipton?
Yes, I know every one of these people.
Do you have any brothers and sisters still there?
My brother, now if you look for Keckner Manufacturing, we're one of the large, well, whatever. My brother took over my father's business, which is turkey coops, and don't make fun. It's livestock transportation, not vehicles, but racks. So if you ever see, so cattle go down the road in cattle trucks. Turkeys go down the road in turkey trucks.
Right.
But we manufacture those at Keckner Manufacturing.
And as I understand it, one of the only things that is legal to throw out of your car is water in the form of, or like not ice, but it could be water or feathers from a live chicken or turkey.
Wow.
That could come out of your vehicle,
my
point.
That's interesting because they had to, there are so many feathers that leave the crates when they're going down the road that I'm sure
people
you don't have to tell me. Oh, you're well aware.
Listen,
where did you grow up?
I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You're one of six.
Right.
I'm one of six.
Where do you fall?
I'm the sixth, and that's why I'm so desperate for attention. You're the third. Why are you desperate?
Because I'm the third.
So you didn't get attention.
You're from an Irish Catholic family?
Not the Irish part, the Catholic part.
Okay, then that's why you're desperate.
Half English, half Italian,
but that's why you're desperate for attention. We're all desperate for attention. That means you're a human being.
Let me ask you this.
I don't think we can apply, honestly, one model, that's why. Bullshit. We're all desperate for attention. We all get what we get or we don't get what we get, so we have our attachment needs and we live them out the rest of our lives.
I hear what you're saying. However, I will say this. There is proof. I'm the youngest of six, like I said. There are only four pictures of me under the age of 10.
Okay.
And that's okay. My mother still feels bad about it. One time she sent me a picture of a little girl on a tricycle, and on the back there was a piece of tape, and it said Christine, 1971. Mm-hmm. And then I lifted up that masking tape, and it said Lisa, 1962. See what I'm saying? So I didn't get as much. I'm just saying.
And you don't even have a sister named Lisa. She bought it in a Goodwill store.
Suffice to say, they were very busy.
The point is this. Let me say this. Let me ask you some questions. Right. You do have five children.
Yes, we do.
And which do you like the most?
Which child?
Yes.
All of them.
And which do you secretly not like so much?
I like all of them.
Are you sure?
They may listen to this one day.
Yeah. Do they listen to any of your shows? Do they watch The Office? Could they get on board with that?
They could, but they don't watch it because we try to watch shows that we all watch together. But as the universe is so splintered now with cable and everything else, it's hard to watch anything together.
But there's a lot of good programming.
For families,
I think.
They usually involve some sort of judging of dancing or singing.
That's true.
I hate all those shows.
Me too. What's worse, or anything that is manufactured by Disney,
right?
Or
I've
been on a few of those shows. Simpsons, it's
my
a little
racy
for the youngest. Well, okay, 5-year-old. Well, okay, no judgment.
But she doesn't know. I mean, she's not looking at those references.
Well, Simpsons I love.
Me too.
And my son found Family Guy, which is racier. And I like Family Guy, but at the time, I didn't know he'd learned to download things and get into my iTunes account. And so he'd been watching episodes of the Family Guy before I probably would have allowed it.
Wow.
And same with South Park.
I see.
But he digs it. And
South Park, my daughter loved until.
How old
then,
is she?
She's five. So she loved it when she was like 1, 2, 3 because she's with me watching it and we're just silliness, right? But then when she started understanding, now we can't watch it anymore. Now we can't watch it anymore.
No.
So she hasn't watched it. So she was like kind of watching the images when she was a baby.
Right.
But now, it's out.
Right. And whereas this is, I would show her daughter Patton and never appreciated a thing. The
not
long
as much.
Speech, she would fall asleep during the opening speech every single time.
The blood and gore, the loud guns, the tanks, no.
Dave, what does it sound like when you call your kids for dinner? What does that sound like?
Well, I'll have to get off mic.
Come on, let's hear it.
Oh, wait, Maggie.
All right, let's go. Dinner. Oh, here's what I said tonight. Here's what I said tonight. Swear to God, for dinner. Hey, piggy, 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 piggies. Piggy, piggy, I swear to God.
You could call my wife. You could call my kids right now and go, what did daddy say for dinner tonight? Because I call our youngest daughter Little Piggy because I just, she's our last one.
Yeah.
And it's really an interesting thing to be going through parenting. I'm almost 50. I'll be 50 in August. So to be so present and really witness everything.
Yeah.
Like before, you're like in a panic. Because we had the two and then we had twins. It was like, I'm overwhelmed because I feel overwhelmed all the time because I'm desperate for attention. But so we're all enjoying it, I think, so much. And I know it's the last one and I know that's it. So
I love that appreciation of time. No, I have that with my daughter. Yeah. I've been a stay-at-home mom for 5 years and I love the fact that I appreciate her youth and how small she is because it changes so quickly.
Yep.
And now she's starting kindergarten. Yep. And now that, happening.
It's a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge
deal. So tonight,
deal.
That's how I called them to dinner. I said, hey, Piggy.
All right, what
Piggy,
does it
Piggy,
sound
Piggy.
Like?
Alec Baldwin's daughter came. I don't know how that.
Oh, gosh, that's tough, honey.
I said
that's
it affectionately. Tough.
Oh, I went too far.
I'm glad that went away.
It's too
that
soon?
Went away. Well, it's been 3 or 4 years.
Other than that, how'd you like the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Here's too the soon? Thing. I think every parent that's a, anyone
that's
that is anyone that
joke.
Is a parent will forgive that. Do you remember the woman about 5 or 6 years ago with all the video cameras around? She was caught hitting her child into a child seat. In a child seat. Remember in a parking lot?
Vaguely.
She was
yes.
trying to get the child into a car seat. And the child was fighting, and the mother slugged the kid.
Ugh.
And eventually, the judge really didn't give her a big sentence because the judge probably has kids. And it was a moment. It was a moment. And these things happen, and it's awful. I'm not condoning it, but it's understandable.
What does it
sound
like?
Hey, piggies. During sex with my wife, I will show you videotape. Bing, bong, bong, gang, gong, gong. Go ahead.
So this is the positive. This is the positive moments you have with your child, your children. What does it sound like when you yell at your children? Do you have to yell at your children?
Of course.
And what do you say then?
You try, what do I say?
How does it go?
That's a confessional. I don't know if I really want to tell you. You know what the sad thing is the my dad used to make this noise. And I find myself making that noise of just, it's such a guttural disappointment.
Yeah.
And that is, I'm ashamed of
so
it.
So you don't need words.
Well, I need to walk the F away.
Yeah.
Count to 10. Yeah, when dad's
count
lost
to 10,
the capacity
run
for speech.
Away.
Yeah.
Run away.
My father would say to me, you're skating on thin ice.
Well, that would be nice.
And then sometimes he'd say, you're a shit for brains, you horse's ass.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
But he also said that to Terry Bradshaw every time he threw an interception.
I know, but when I say that to my dad now, I was like, Dad, remember you used to call me a horse's ass? He's like, oh, I did not. You kids make up stories.
I'll tell you, I'm working at Universal, and I see kids all day long, and it's like, I mean, the bad parents are like, I just want to kill them. But the parents who can hold it together, I'm amazed by these people because these kids are out of their freaking minds.
Well, everybody on some days is a bad parent. Everybody is. If you can get above 50% on good parenting, I applaud you. It is not easy.
Look, it isn't easy.
We're all human beings. It's hard to be patient. I say this all the time. There's a quote I read from Michelangelo, or Michelangelo, depending what region of the country you're from. And it says,
Michelangelo.
Genius is eternal patience. And I thought, my God, if I could model my parenting after that.
Good.
And I can't.
But
I'm trying.
But 5 is a big number.
Right? We
Especially
chose to have them.
These days.
Hey, we chose to have them.
No, but these days, as it were.
5's a big number. You know what? Here's the thing. 1 was a big number.
It's expensive.
Well, it's very expensive.
And
yeah, they're all big
feel,
numbers. I mean, they're all.
I'm not clear where you live. You don't have to tell me where you live. But do you prefer the city or the suburbs as
well? Do you think this is a hipster area?
I do.
You think you're it's in the valley. I'll put
I
it
see.
That way.
Yeah, but that's fair
really,
enough.
Really hip.
But are you as far out of Santa Clarita?
No. Good
I
Lord,
mean, you're
we
not,
don't cook meth.
That's a commute, is what that is.
No.
There went our one Santa Clarita listener right there.
We're in the near valley.
So
or
you don't have to, because it's a commute. I mean, if people live out there,
no,
because
we don't
they
live
choose,
out. We don't live
good.
Far out. I mean, look,
see,
we live in the city
Christine,
of Los Angeles.
Christine doesn't like the valley, so she thinks Burbank no. Studio City is deep in the valley,
that's
and
true.
That's not deep in the
no,
valley.
That's
I'm
not
true. Burbank's a lovely little town. We're Studio City, Sherman Oaks area.
I love that area. Do your kids go to Carpenter? That's a good school.
Oh, I wish. That's a good school, and it's free. No, we go to a Catholic school in the valley. It's a very good one.
Okay, did you grow up Catholic?
I did. And so I swore that I would not raise my kids Catholic.
Yeah, with the guilt.
Because of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
With just the shame.
The shame and the guilt.
It's a shame-based religion.
Yeah, I live that every
You're
day.
You're going to lose listeners.
Yeah. All the best. No, all the best religions.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, there's not a lot of priests listening to us, so I think we're safe.
Or there's going
to
be Catholics. And I'm sure Catholic.
Kerfuffle.
The thing is, I tell my kids this. Here's the thing. It's less dogmatic than when we grew up. When I grew up, there are no nuns. I don't know where the nuns have gone.
No, me too. I agree. Yeah.
And so the nuns ran our school, and the priests were involved. That doesn't happen anymore.
Now they're like young, hip people in regular clothes.
playing those terrible songs.
It's an amazing community. It really is. All my best friends from Chicago that I came up with and I've known for 25 years, their kids are all there. So we're all there. It's an amazing community. And so we're blessed. It's called St. Francis.
And Studio City is an amazing place. I mean, it's great. You've got everything. You've got so much culture. Everything's right there.
Right. Look, we're in Los Angeles, California. A lot of people like to bag on LA. You're crazy.
It's
beautiful
living in LA.
Only every single day.
I know.
You literally live on a mountain.
It's so green.
We're in the mountains. What do you like, folks? Do you like the mountains? We've got them. Do you like the flatlands?
20 minutes, go to the beach. 20 minutes, go to the beach.
Do you like the beach? Do you like to ski? Do you like the desert? Do you like the flatlands? Do you like the... Whatever you like is right here.
I like to play tennis. And you know what tennis is?
Everywhere.
It's free.
You can do it on the street. You can literally block traffic, put up a net here, folks.
I often do that. I've done it twice.
And you can play it. And people go, you know what? I'll wait.
I want to know when you moved to Chicago.
Chicago. I moved to Chicago in 1986.
And so you were how old?
24. I just turned 24. My buddy Craig Davis came up, and because it was my golden birthday. I was 24 on the 24th. I just moved up there 2 months prior. Craig Davis is one of my he's one of my best friends. And he took a bus up to Chicago, and he had like $10 on him.
Yeah.
And we spent the day together. It was a very, very sweet thing to do because, you know, it was a big deal. It was my golden birthday, right? That's what they call it. And
golden was 50, man.
No,
I think you're thinking of the silver platter.
No,
the birthday
that the Pittsburgh platter,
the birthday that is the same, your age and the same date is known as your golden birthday.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're August 25th, and it was the 25th.
You're about to lose your high status stool. And I'm not talking about the chair you're sitting on.
I want to say this. Dave Koechner, you do so many things well.
Johnny
you're well
Carson.
Known around town as a good guy. That's what they say about you. Dave Koechner is a good guy. What do you feel about that?
It feels like there's quotes around it.
Are there liars? Are there liars
no,
about
No, I'm a
town?
Great guy. If anything, I'm too nice.
You seem like a really nice guy.
Well, being Catholic, I'm a bit codependent as well.
Right, me too.
So
I know what that means. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this.
And I'm oppositional.
What am I very favorite? Is that mean? What does that mean?
No, you're not.
Oppositional. Are you saying that means you debate
resist,
a lot?
Well, it's controlling, and you resist things that don't generate from yourself, and even they do generate from yourself. It
but that
creates
seems...
an opposition. There's an irony abounding.
Because you're like a yes and guy. You're the
improv
guy.
That's improvisation. I can do that easily. It's also a form of control, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
As he's looking
brilliant.
At me
no,
and
no,
his
no.
eyes are going, whoa, 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 right. whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, you
whoa,
actually,
no,
your
I know
eyes
I
just
am.
Went blank, Christine, and now you're taking off your top. I don't know what kind of message you sent.
Just so you know, folks, no one has any clothes on in this room.
That's exactly right.
And there are 12 people in this room.
And there's also not a lot of hair in the room. I'm just going to say that between me and Joe.
Can I see your shark eyes? Look at me with your shark eyes. Oh, my gosh. You have such good shark eyes. I mean, it just says, death. It says void.
They're dead, right.
And here's
now,
why
that's my heart as well.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Do-do-do-do. Yes.
And here's why I bring that up. Because, you do so many wonderful things. And, of course, I love all your movie, et cetera. But what I really enjoyed you doing was that little series called Always Open.
Thank you.
That was sponsored by Denny's?
Well, here's what happened. They call it Branded Entertainment. My buddy Jerry Collins, another dear friend of mine. Apparently everybody is. He
called me the other day, said you were a complete prick.
He's right. In fact, we developed a show called The Prick. I'm not kidding. I'll send you the script. Jerry was working with Jason Bateman and Will Arnett, who'd created a company with under Barry Diller's partnership with Ben Silverman called Dum Dum. And what they do is branded entertainment, which means like for the internet, no one wants to tolerate commercials anymore. So you find a way to wrap or sponsor a piece of entertainment. And so what they did was the Denny's had come to them through another agency and said, we wanted this thing. Then Jerry came up with this idea of let's do a talk show. and they were thinking of other people than me to host it. And then Jerry said, how about Koechner? And then those guys said, oh, yeah, sure, great. And what happens is we know that Denny's is sponsoring it.
Right.
We don't talk about Denny's. We're actually having a meal in a Denny's.
That's right.
We shoot those for about a half hour, five cameras. And then they cut that down to 3 minutes.
In
all
a booth,
the best bits.
Five cameras.
Five cameras. So you
one
get a lot of angles.
One on each person, a master, and what are the other two?
Singles. Just another.
They're
more
in the
angles.
Toilets. More they're
angles,
in the toilets.
More angles give you better, you know, yeah. better choices. And that way it really moves. That's the good thing about those. They've got great editing, and they really move. What people do a lot of times, first of all, nobody wants to watch something. It's rare that you want to watch something for 3 minutes on the internet.
I understand.
And these things you don't mind. The 3 minutes goes by very quickly.
They do.
Jerry and some other writers and sometimes myself come up with really oddball questions that are more philosophical than gotcha. So it's kind of like watching a talk show that's not a talk show, and it's two people having a conversation based on really odd questions. For instance, let me give you one. What did your childhood smell like? I'm asking you right now.
Licorice.
Licorice. And why licorice?
Because my mother loves black licorice. She still does.
She still does.
I smell good and plenty every fucking day of my life.
And how does that make you feel? So good and safe. Plenty, not the...
Good and plenty is it's a licorice covered candy.
I know it has a candy
coating.
Often
pink
found,
and white.
In our youth, often found in movie theaters.
That's exactly right. Right. That in the good and fruity.
So that's
is
where...
It fruity, tutti frutti?
Right. So you start with a question like that, then you go on somewhere else and you say, what about your mother's relationship?
And you've had guests on like Amy Poehler, Kristen yes. Bell, Sarah yes. Silverman, Will yes. Arnett. So you've had all these talented people. And what I'm getting from that show, yes. Always Open, is that they like you. They're comfortable with you. They're having a good meal. And what's not to love? You're asking some pretty simple questions. You're softballing them. Everybody's laughing.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Here's the thing. The guests are always generated from the relationships of Arnett and Bateman because it's their company.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not me. I don't book the shows. Obviously, Amy is married to Will Arnett. I've known Amy for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It just worked out that I've either worked in a project with each one of these guests that also happen to be friends with Will and
yeah, but even if
Bateman.
They didn't know you, I know that they know that you have the reputation as of a damn good guy around town, and they like you. My point is there's
yes.
no pressure. It's a sweet little interview with no pressure. We get to see them for who they really are.
Right.
I love it.
Oh, good.
And what happened to it?
Oh, well, there's only a certain amount of money that corporation is allocated for. Well, actually, not a corporation. Those were franchises are all... owned individually.
Independently, yeah.
And so there's only so much money they've allocated, to my understanding, to I would call off-network advertising. And so that's not budgeted. I would say that it's something that people would enjoy watching.
I mean, I think it's so fun.
I mean, it seems like something they could repurpose into actual commercials.
Yes, and
like, look, here are famous people in Denny's.
Well, you can't do that because I'm sorry to interrupt
no,
you. But that is not something that I would want to be a necessarily that go down that road, and you wouldn't get any of those guests doing that either
yeah,
for network.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd still do it on the internet, and it could still be a wraparound by a company like that. But there's a big difference between doing it on network and doing it on the internet for
funny.
That thing. And we never talk about Denny's. You know we're in a Denny's. We're eating
that
food.
Yeah, but this is like the way they did it in the 50s when it was like a Hallmark Channel kind of thing. And you never talked about Hallmark.
But also,
cigarettes
like,
usually.
I just
realized
that the internet has become like European television.
Yes.
Because it used to be
they show a lot
the biggest
of
stars in the... Yes, there's a lot of breasts and a lot of sex shows.
Like
no,
this
it
show.
Used to be that big movie stars would do commercials in Europe and Japan that would never... ever do a commercial
exactly.
in the United
and
States.
That still
that was
goes
like
on.
Lost in Translation. That was the whole Bill Murray thing.
Yeah,
right.
Lost so it's
in
like that, but it's like, so we'll do it on the web.
Right.
You will, Amy Poehler will not be in a commercial for Denny's.
Well, right. I mean, you would have to be an insane amount of money.
Yeah.
And she, you know, I can't speak for her, but.
I'm just going to
assume.
Go
ahead, speak for her. Go ahead, do it.
I mean,
no, just do it.
She probably doesn't need to because she's got
course.
A television show. But
what
now,
if they
now
open,
we're seeing
this. Right, I'm spitballing. They open a Denny's in the town where Parks and Recreation takes place. Okay, now.
Well, that's something they would love, but I think the cast would kind of go, I'm not doing it.
Hey, Dave, you want to play a little Shotgun Story Worthy?
Yes.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game show where contestants spin the storyworthy wheel of truth and tell a true one-minute story on the topic they land.
So everyone, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Passport makes me think of having to go through... work permits in Canada. When you go work up there, the first time you go, on any new project, you must go through immigration, and you go and get a work permit. And one time I deplaned, and I see all these people running, like, what's the big hurry? We're not America. And then I noticed that a plane from Thailand had also deplaned at the same time, and I got stuck in that thing for 3 hours just to get my work permit. And the thing that was the oddest is that these people are used to a much more compact nation, and so they're slowly cutting in front of me. Slowly. And then I got to say, I know that American agencies must be ignorant, but boy, it was really frustrating that the immigration people in Canada were like, yeah, now what are you doing here? I mean, there was an arrogance I wasn't used to. Of course, I'm an American. Like, how dare you?
Yeah.
56 seconds.
That is how you play the game. That is how you play Shotgun Storyworthy. He sees the topic.
Right.
A story comes to mind. He just starts talking. He sees the clock. And what happens, Hannes?
Right there. That's genius. It's passport. It also would have worked for our other category, Asian hater. Which we have
there.
There
are literally three categories on that board. There's Jew hater, Asian hater, and passports.
Hannes, yeah. What were you going to... You look like you were jumping at the bit.
Just the idea, because I work at Universal Studios, and most Asian countries do not have a concept of a line.
Yes.
They didn't think they were
cutting in front of you.
I know that.
They're just pushing their way forward. So I'll have a line of like literally 40 people behind a rope, and I'm with Optimus Prime, and they will come in the exit and shove their two-year-old child under the legs of it's like,
I
point over to the lines and they go, oh, but it's a theme park. It's nothing but lines.
Right.
It's all lines every day, all day long. Yeah. So how do you not halfway through the day get the line?
I understood that. I knew that's what was happening, but it was still frustrating because they did it slowly. They would slowly move ahead. I'm like, what do I have to elbows out this whole time? But the lanes in the immigration line were like a bank line rope line where you can just slowly start cutting. It's like, what?
But I like the idea that Canada, that they think you're sneaking into the country.
Well, you hope that you're like, hey, well, excuse me, I'm in show business. I'm sure it's all going to be very express here, right?
Yeah. And they
you do sit there and go, I wonder what big stars go through. Like, do they
no,
there's
no,
a
they
different
wait
line.
Line. No, I think they go through the same thing.
I would bet you there's a way to expedite.
But I think other people are carrying their bags.
But you have
and
to
they're
remember,
standing in the line, though.
It's right at the same place. There's also all of the luggage, baggage claims.
Right.
So you'll get them outside there or you'll leave them out because no one can take that stuff.
Well, let me just say airports are, I know we're running long, but airports are their own world with their own rules and they're crazy. I remember Michael Caine once told a story about his name is Michael Musselwhite, or I forget what his actual name is.
He's
never legally changed his name to Michael Caine.
Cox in there somewhere.
So that is not
Michael
the name
Cock,
of his passport is not Michael Caine.
It's Michael Cock.
Yes, Michael. And the guy at New York LaGuardia is like, well, this isn't your name. He's like, well, no, you're Michael Caine, but it doesn't say Michael Caine. He's like, you know who I am. You just said I'm Michael Caine. What the fuck are you doing? But it's like in an airport, people go power crazy.
Right.
Yeah, they do. I used to be a flight attendant, as you know, Hannes, and I had a lot of power as a flight attendant. Let me just say this. I could say, ladies and gentlemen, the captain has asked me for weight and balance purposes, because all you ever had to say is weight and balance purposes, and then they believe you, that all the women in the plane, please lift your left hand and wave to the left. And then they would, because they listened to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why they give you power. If you have a uniform and you're in an airplane, you have power.
Right. And people wonder how Nazi Germany started.
David
Kettner. Boom, boom, boom-a-doop.
I have two questions for you. Two more questions. Oh, one is a comment, and that is that you made me laugh when you were talking about 80 rules in your school
and
year.
It does. It
you're
does.
So proud. And 80 does rules, but I will say this.
You give me a can of paint in this house, and I will
know
how I feel about it.
I know what you're saying.
Okay,
but when I was in eighth grade, I had a T-shirt that said, eighth graders do it better.
Oh, my God.
What does that mean? Oh, but it was a prideful thing, but I didn't know what I was doing better, but I had that shirt.
Where did you get it?
I got it at the St. Barnabas Fair.
Oh, my God.
I know. Oh. They sold decals. I also got one that said Disco Sucks, and then I got Eighth Graders Do It Better, and then I got Frampton Comes Alive. You see where I'm at.
Yeah, but the eighth graders do it better. The priests only wanted to sell that to the boys. You were an accident.
I hope it has to do with math.
The other thing I want to say this is ask you this. Thank you so much for coming, by the way. We do appreciate it. Oh, wait, two more questions. Is Anchorman 2 happening?
Yes, it is. We
exciting.
We begin filming in February 2013.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. You have no... Did you see a script or...
No, they're still writing the script.
Will you wear a big cowboy hat? Champ kind.
Yes.
I would think so.
That's probably the best Champ Kind impression I've
ever heard.
Thank you
very much.
You should make it a part of your contract that you can't wear a cowboy hat and see how that goes.
Let me ask you this.
If it impedes work, I would never put anything in the contract.
I know you're a good worker. You know how I know you're so good at working? Because you were a little bit late tonight and you called. That's a professional.
Right.
The most professional people are the people that call. The people that, like, are the most successful people are the professional ones. Am I right?
Are the politest people.
The politest. Yes. That's exactly right.
There was more traffic on the Western exit than I'd anticipated.
Blah, blah, blah. Let me ask you this.
No. There's a lot of transvestite whispered whores
down. Whisper to a scream, compliment to derision. This show is a jumble. I feel like I'm in the dryer. No, I appreciate it. You're on the highest stool in the room. I get it. And again, I don't mean in the chair.
All right, let me ask you this. Yes. Do you think your talented wife, Lee Keckner, would come on the show?
She would love it.
I would love to have her. She's very talented, also very beautiful, and she's my Facebook friend.
Oh, fantastic. She would absolutely love it. And she would be amazing on the show.
She is so talented. I'm so excited about her. Just her motherhood makes me excited.
Oh, nice.
Well, I started the Moms Club in Los Feliz, so I have a lot of moms friends, moms that are friends.
You have friends of other moms?
That's
yes.
Exactly. We're called the MILFs. That's exactly right. Moms in Los Feliz. Okay. And the point is I think we would be friends.
I'm sure. Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
A lot of pressure you're putting on.
No, there's no pressure
honey,
at all.
I made you a new friend.
We got to wrap this up.
If you, yes, I would say anyone that meets my wife is taken by her and they either want to marry her or be her friend. Yes.
Yes, I love that. So would you, it's like fuck, marry, or kill. It's like that thing. But she wouldn't
be. Yes, that's a lot to digest.
Wow, yeah, you went right
but,
to that.
But by the way, that also explains marriage itself being. Gah, gah, gah. Look at me in the eyes. Dead eyes, shark eyes, and bam, bam, bam.
Oh my God.
You always want to end on a blowjob reference.
There is spew all over this house. That is disgusting. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to wrap this up, man.
Everyone
we
got to
wrap
topless.
This up. Thank you for joining us here on the 100th show of Storyworthy.
Listen to the crowd.
Take off your shirt.
Oh.
We've really had a lot of fun. Thank you for being here. You can find Dave Keckner at davekeckner.com. That's convenient.
Or follow me on Twitter at Dave Keckner.
That's a good idea, too.
And retweet Puddin'.
Please do. Yes. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even talk about Puddin'. Puddin' is one of the funniest daily... It's a live-action comic strip is what it is. And you've done many episodes of
Puddin'.
And
it's not like the creator, Matt Oswald, is in the room right now.
But
it's
handing out $20 bills. Eddie Pepitone. So if Eddie Pepitone is in, I'm in.
And Eddie Pepitone is one of my favorite things.
Me too. He's been on our show.
Oh, I love
he doesn't
Eddie.
Floss, but other
By the way,
than that, I love
in,
him.
You've been in stuff with three of our guests. Eddie Pepitone, Jim Coughlin was in Anchorman. He was one of the PBS News
Yes,
news
I know Jim. I know
and,
him.
And Iris Barr was the sidekick of Larry the Cable Guy and Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector. Yes.
You buried the lead. You should have said that to the top.
Sorry.
I'll tell you this. I bet if I went through your list, I have worked with almost all of the people on your list.
And now we've worked with you.
I know Blanket Patch. We've worked together. Wayne Fetterman. If you put the list in front of me, I would probably say, yep.
Either I just realized the other. We have to get Kevin Bacon on this show because then we can be connected to people.
There you go.
So many people.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap this up. I'd like to thank Jorge Reyes. He is our sound engineer, Hannes. You know, he's the sound engineer to the stars.
That's right. That's where he wears a jaunty cap.
That's exactly
under
right.
And that's all he wears.
I'd also
that's
like right. to thank John Thomas Griffith. You know, this guy did our theme song. You familiar with him?
Never heard of him.
He's a rock star.
Fucking asshole.
I also play tennis with him.
Oh, okay. Did you beat him?
Sometimes I do. We're pretty equal. He has a terrific second serve, I'll say that.
And that's what the ladies say.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Dave Keckner, and of course, our producer, Joe Slepsky, and of course, you, my dear friend, Hannes Finney, my co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Oh, Mike, what are you guys giving me? This is the first time they've ever given a gift at the end of the show. Thank you, guys. This is a very nice watch. Bam, 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 do.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. If you have a 5-minute story that is worthy, send us an email at info@storyworthypodcast.com and you may be on the next Storyworthy. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.